Ever walk down like a busy street and like.
But what if all this noise was actually music?
That's kind of what we're diving into today with
Werner Radischnig,
Oh.
an Austrian composer who really throws out the rule books when it
Yeah.
comes to what makes music
Well, yeah,
music.
you're not kidding. Radischnig is a fascinating figure.
Even within the world of experimental music.
It's not just that he uses unusual instruments.
Think aluminum sculptures, factory sounds, even melting ice.
Wow.
But it's how he weaves these sounds together.
That really sets him apart.
I'm intrigued.
So we're talking about a guy born in 1948.
Based in Salzburg, Austria,
Okay.
a place practically synonymous with classical music.
You'd think Mozart would be his main inspiration.
You might think so, but
Well, he did study more traditional instruments at the Mozarteum in Salzburg.
Radischnig's work is anything but traditional.
Okay.
He's more interested in the sonic possibilities of everyday life.
Those sounds we often tune out.
He actually calls some of his creations sound sculptures.
Okay, hold on. Sound sculptures.
Paint me a picture here.
What exactly is a sound sculpture?
Imagine a giant aluminum structure.
Maybe hanging in an open space.
Now imagine this structure is designed to catch the wind.
In a way that creates unique vibrations, hums.
And even melodies. That's the kind of thing Radischnig is doing.
Turning everyday materials into instruments that interact with their environment.
Wow, that's such a cool concept.
He's taking the idea of sculpture off a pedestal, literally.
And making it something you experience with your ears as
Exactly.
much as your eyes.
And this is where his background in live electronic composition comes in.
He's not just letting these sounds exist naturally, he's
Wow.
manipulating them, layering them.
And creating these incredibly intricate sonic tapestries.
It's like he's taking those raw materials of sound.
And then using technology to sculpt them into something totally new.
And this approach really reflects broader trends in 20th and 21st century music.
This constant questioning of what defines music.
Can a metal factory humming be musical?
What about the sound of ice slowly melting?
Radischnig's work forces us to confront those assumptions.
That's what I love about exploring artists like him.
They make you question everything you thought you knew.
So where do we even begin to unpack his actual compositions?
Let's start with a piece that perfectly illustrates his unique approach
Okay.
at Interapax,
He uses a steel string guitar,
which is fairly traditional.
but then he incorporates these really unexpected environmental sounds he recorded.
Construction work, birds singing, even airplanes flying overhead.
When I first heard about him using sounds like that,
I was hooked.
it's like, who thinks to capture the sounds of construction and say,
This is going into my music.
it's brilliant, really.
And by incorporating these sounds into a piece inspired by Bach cantatas,
Which are incredibly structured and ordered.
he's creating this fascinating tension between order and chaos.
Intention and randomness.
So it's not just about the sounds themselves.
It's about how he uses them to make you think differently about the world around you.
It's almost like he's saying,
Even in the most mundane, everyday noises.
there's music to be found if you just know how to listen.
Precisely. And that's a key idea we'll see running through all of Radischnig's work.
This blurring of the lines between what we traditionally consider music.
And what we might dismiss as mere noise.
Okay, so we're talking about finding music in unexpected places.
It makes you wonder what other kinds of sonic experiences are out there.
That we're just not turned into.
That's a great question. And
It leads us perfectly to Radischnig's Madrid Tape.
this piece is like a sonic postcard from a city.
A way of capturing the feeling of a place through sound rather than images.
You know, it's funny you should mention that.
Just the other day.
I was walking through my neighborhood.
And I stopped to really listen.
There were car horns, kids laughing.
A dog barking in the distance.
It is chaotic, sure, but.
There was also this strange kind of beauty to it. It made me think about how each city has its own.
Unique sonic fingerprint.
Exactly. And that's what Radischnig captures so brilliantly in Madrid Tape.
He recorded in all these different locations around Madrid.
Historical spaces, bustling markets.
Even inside museums. But instead of focusing on the obvious landmark sounds,
He's drawn to the textures, the rhythms.
the almost subconscious hum of the city itself.
It's like he's saying,
Forget the Eiffel Tower. Listen to the echoes in the subway tunnels, the
yes.
murmur of conversations at a cafe.
The street musician playing on a crowded corner.
He wants you to experience Madrid as a living, breathing, sonic organism.
And it raises this interesting question.
What makes a city sound truly unique?
Is it the grand iconic noises
Mm-hmm.
or?
Is it those subtle everyday sounds that we often filter out?
It's making me rethink my whole commute to work.
But on that note,
You mentioned earlier that
Radishnig's work isn't always about finding beauty in everyday sounds.
Sometimes it gets a little darker.
Absolutely.
And that brings us to Rum.
A piece that explores some pretty heavy themes.
Power manipulation, blind faith.
Yeah.
It's based on a historical incident in a monastery.
But Radishnig uses it to comment on these much larger human experiences.
What's fascinating is that
even when he's tackling these
complex, sometimes uncomfortable themes,
he's still doing it through this lens of sound and sonic manipulation.
So how does that actually play out musically in ROM?
This is where Radishnig's technical skill as a composer really shines.
He uses a technique called serialism, taking small fragments of melody and rearranging them.
In strict mathematical patterns.
But even though there's this underlying structure,
through our ears,
it can sound fragmented, almost chaotic.
It's like he's deliberately creating this feeling of unease.
Of things not quite being what they seem.
Which perfectly mirrors those themes of manipulation and hidden agendas.
That he's exploring.
And remember how we talked about those pre-recorded elements?
Being so crucial to his work.
In ROM, he takes it a step further.
He uses pre-recorded piano parts, but they're distorted, manipulated.
Almost like ghostly echoes of something familiar.
But now twisted into something unsettling.
And he does all this with the human voice at the center of it all, right?
I imagine that adds another layer of complexity to the whole thing.
Absolutely. He uses an alto and an altist singer.
Creating this really stark, almost claustrophobic sound world with the voices.
And the way he makes them interact with the distorted piano parts is just masterful.
You get this sense of tension of these voices struggling to be heard amidst the chaos.
It's amazing how he can take these really complex musical techniques and use them to create such a visceral emotional impact. You're not just listening to ROM. You're practically feeling it in your bones.
That's the mark of a true artist, wouldn't you say?
Hmm.
To be able to transcend the purely technical and tap into something deeper, something that resonates with us on a gut level. And that's what makes Radishnig's work so fascinating to explore.
It's like he's found this whole other language for expressing these really big, often difficult ideas, not through words, but through sound. It's challenging, sure, but it's also incredibly rewarding to engage with.
I think that's a really important point. Radishnig's work isn't about easy listening or passive consumption. He's demanding something from his audience. He wants you to lean in, to pay attention, to maybe even feel a little uncomfortable at times.
Which, when you think about it, is a pretty powerful statement in itself.
Yeah.
He's not trying to please everyone or fit into a neat little box. He's creating art on his own terms, and that takes guts.
It does. And it forces us, the listeners, to confront our own assumptions about what music can or should be. Can it be challenging? Can it be unsettling? Can it make us think critically about the world around us? Radishnig's answer is a resounding yes.
It's like he's saying, wake up, open your ears. There's a whole symphony happening around you if you just know how to listen.
And that's a pretty amazing legacy to leave behind, don't you think?
Absolutely. So as we come to the end of our deep dive into the world of Werner Radishnig, I'm left feeling like we've only just scratched the surface.
Oh, there's always more to discover. Each one of his pieces is like a rabbit hole you could spend hours, even days, unpacking. But hopefully this deep dive has given you a good starting point.
It definitely has. And for anyone listening, next time you're walking down a busy street, try listening to the soundscape a little differently. Don't just tune it out as noise. Ask yourself, what if this is music waiting to be discovered? What stories are hidden in these everyday sounds?
What if, like Radishnig, suggests there's beauty and even meaning to be found in the most unexpected places?
Now, that's something to think about.